This year's Wimbledon tournament is as much about who is missing from the competition as it is about who is playing. Athletes from Russia and Belarus are barred because of the war in Ukraine. What is the atmosphere at the competition in light of that decision, and what has the reaction been? Well, for more on that and a roundup of the latest from the tournament, I'm joined by Christopher Clary, the New York Times tennis correspondent, who joins us from Wimbledon. Christopher, hi.
Hi, good to hear from you, Jane.
Let's start with the decision this year to bar athletes from Russia and Belarus. How has that impacted the competition?
You know, it was the big talking point for a long time coming in. It's unprecedented in the modern era for a Grand Slam tournament to do this and for Wimbledon to do this. Last time it's happened was after World War II with the Germans and the Japanese and not being able to play. But I think once the tournament began, it really hasn't been as big a talking point. But I think it may come back on the radar here coming Sunday. There's going to be a ceremony on the center court. They've invited some Ukrainian refugees who've resettled in Britain to come to the matches on Sunday. I know that Iga Swiatek, the number one player on the women's side from Poland, a country that's very affected by this, is becoming increasingly outspoken about it. So it's in the wind. It's not dominating, but it certainly is a factor. And I think competitively, the fact that Daniil Medvedev, the number one player in the world from Russia on the men's side, is not here certainly affects the competition in some way.
It does change the quality of play, the fact that he's not there, no?
Medvedev is not the strongest grass court player, you know, in the field. He wouldn't have been. But Medvedev's a good grass court player, and he's number one in the world. So it does definitely affect, I think, the overall depth of competition.
Let me ask you about the Americans. First, Serena Williams. She is out. Chris, what happened?
You know, first of all, it was, I think, surprising to see Serena here in many ways. She hasn't played tennis at all since last year's Wimbledon. She tore a hamstring during her first round match a year ago on center court, couldn't finish the first round match, and nobody saw her play tennis again until just recently. So it was so much uncertainty about her career, whether she'd come back and play, and then she decided to do it kind of at the last minute, it seemed like. And she was really up and down. It was a kind of a ragged performance, but ultimately you couldn't help but admire her fighting spirit and her pluck. She lost in three sets to a player ranked outside the top 100, Harmony Tan from France, with a very clever, choppy, chippy sort of game that traditionally causes Serena trouble even in her prime. So it was a kind of match she might have had trouble with even when she was playing regularly, but it was, at times, I have to be honest, difficult to watch. A great champion struggling with her timing and her fitness and her movement at times.
And she was asked if this was the final Wimbledon of her career, and she said she couldn't answer that.
Jane, Serena has given us nothing.
Right.
She definitely isn't answering a lot of these questions. She's definitely keeping the mystery alive. I personally would be surprised if Serena doesn't use her training and her momentum now to try to play in the hard court events in the United States and play the U.S. Open in September, I think.
Even at 40 years old, never count Serena out. We have learned that, haven't we? Everywhere you look, there's an American man in the final 32 at Wimbledon this year. Tell us about this resurgence.
Yeah, it's partially linked to what's happened in the men's draw with the Russians not being here and three players in the top 20 having to withdraw with COVID. The number two player in the world, Alexander Zverev, a German, basically tore three ligaments in his ankle against Nadal at the French Open. He's not here. So there's a lot of players who are missing. That helps set the tone and the platform for this. But the U.S. men have shown a lot of resurgence in the last couple of years. There are a lot of young players who've emerged and are doing well, including Francis Tiafoe from Washington, D.C., who just qualified for the fourth round for the first time and is playing some wonderful tennis, including Taylor Fritz, who won the tournament in Indian Wells earlier this year. These are guys in their mid-20s, and including Jensen Brooksby, who's an unconventional player from California who's in 21 or so, and he's also playing some, you know, very effective tennis at this level. So to have eight men from the U.S. in the final 32, it hasn't happened at Wimbledon for over 20 years. It's not a coincidence. It's been building for a while. Are these guys the great champions who can replace Nadal and Djokovic? I don't think so. But can they be factors at top of the game and competitive and make a dent? Yes, I think they can.
All right, Christopher, give me your favorites. Who's at the top of the singles tournament and any dark horses to keep an eye on this year at Wimbledon?
I'm much better at talking about it after the fact, but okay. I would say, from my point of view, Djokovic, number one seed on the men's side, has won the last three Wimbledons. He's had a very difficult season, obviously, with being thrown out of Australia because of his unvaccinated status. But he's playing some good tennis, and grass really is one of his very best surfaces, and I think he has to be the favorite. Dark horses, you know, I would say you'd have to look at a guy named Nick Kyrgios. He's a volatile Australian who has never gone very deep in a Grand Slam tournament, but he has worlds of talent, and you can't take your eyes off him, and he's playing wonderfully, and he's got a great match against Stefanos Tsitsipas on Saturday. Women's side, I would say Iga Swiatek is on a 37-match winning streak right now for the women, but doesn't seem to love grass. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there might be a really historic breakthrough. Ons Jabeur, who is a Tunisian player, it looks to me like she's playing some great tennis. If she can hold her nerve, I think she has a good chance to win. And on the dark horse side, I'm not sure you can call Coco Gauff or Amanda Anisimova dark horses. They're established young American players. They play in the third round. That's a match I think the winner will go a long way at this tournament.
How are the strawberries and cream this year, Chris?
Still the same price, Jane, $250. Everything's going up in the world, but strawberries and cream.
Christopher Clary, the New York Times tennis correspondent, who joins us from Wimbledon. Chris, as always, thank you so much.
Great to be with you.